Have you ever been tricked by a sensational headline? You know, you're browsing that serious news site you like to check, and then there's the headline. 96-year-old woman robs cradle by wedding 83-year-old.
It only takes about 2 seconds to say I do. Only thing, sometimes it takes a lifetime to find the person you want to say it to.
Tonight means that I'm starting a whole new life.
I'm Jabalani LaFall, and on today's Central Standard, we're bringing in happy newlyweds for a conversation about finding love later in life.
It's never too late. You're never too old.
Oh, love is absolutely everywhere. It cannot hide from you.
That's ahead on Central Standard after this hour's news.
Going to the chapel and we're gonna get married. Going to the chapel and we're gonna get married. We are really love you and we're gonna get married. Going to the chapel of love.
Good morning, Kansas City. Love constantly has us asking questions. What is true love? What does being in love with someone versus loving them mean? How can you tell the difference? Why is love one of the most commonly used words in our language? This is Central Standard. I'm Jabalani LaFall. Our guests today remind us that it's never too late to answer age-old questions about love. And they remind us that age is only a number and love is forever. Newlyweds Fern Shore, 96 years young, and Paul Trito, a spry 83, join us live at the KCUR studios, live on Central Standard, to share their story. Mr. Trito, good morning.
Good morning.
Fern Shore, good morning.
Good morning.
And welcome to the show. So first, tell us about yourselves individually. Fern, tell us about yourself. Where did you grow up?
I grew up in Kidder, Missouri, on a farm about a mile out to from the town. There were only about 350 people total in the town, but it was quite a mighty little place in spite of the smallness. But of course, you see, the people out around the edges were farmers, and so they didn't have to have place to live in town. They had their own places on the farm. So I went to grade school in Kidder, Missouri. I've finished grade school, high school. One day I was walking home from school and I heard one of my teachers say that something about fifth grade, and she was a fifth grade teacher, and I made up my mind then that I wanted to be a fifth grade school teacher when I grew up.
So you came from Kidder, which is that close to Cameron,
yes,
Missouri?
Yes, sir. It is just about 10 miles east of Cameron.
So how did you make your way down to the Kansas City metro area? You had it in mind that you wanted to be a fifth grade teacher. How did you make your way down here to the metro?
Well, you know, I had the privilege of going to college right there in Kidder, Missouri, because Dr. Shaw had the love for youth, and he wanted to take the money of his life and invested in youth in the area all around in the country. And he touched on the lives of many of us. Well, he allowed us to enter college, and we could go with him for 2 whole years. And after we had finished the 2 years with him, then we would be graduated from junior college and given a they call them certificates there, credentials nowadays. And was where I went to school. However, I went 1 year with Dr. Shaw, and lo and behold, the second year I was ready to enter in September, and word came that the school would close down. Dr. Shaw would no longer be helping there or working there at all. So they just closed the school, and so it was fall of the year, and I just went about the work on the farm with my mom and dad and the rest of the family, and we were over by the windmill in the field, and just a short distance from our house, and two men were coming down from the house and came over to where we were working and said they wanted to talk to the father of us and told him that they understood that he had two girls that needed to go to school. And we have a college over in Cameron that's open now, and we'd like to have the girls come to our institution there. Well, my dad said, well, really, we don't have money to finance something like you're talking. And the man looked around a little bit and hesitated. And pretty soon he said, when he looked back to my father, he said, now there's a lovely cow over there in the pasture. Would you let us have this cow? And we would take a privilege of selling her and giving the girls some cash to work with to begin with. Then we're going to get national youth help for at least one of them. Well, both of us were given national, which was a new thing government did then. So sure enough, that helped. I was given a job of sweeping the classrooms and dusting in there, getting the classrooms ready for the next day. So that's how I proceeded on into going my second year of college.
So you grew up in the Depression, sweeping the classrooms of the classes that you eventually learned to teach in. How long had you been a teacher, Fernshire?
How long have I been now?
How long now? How long was your career?
I taught school for, whenever I start to talk about numbers, I'll have trouble.
That's okay. Take your time.
40 years.
40 years. 40 years. So we have the school teacher, and then we have the gentleman and the scholar, Paul Trito.
Okay.
Paul, where do you come from? What's your
scholar?
Story? Let's see.
I come from northern New York State in the Adirondack Mountains, if you've ever heard of them.
Home of the Finger Lakes and Lake George. And
no, that's out in the western part of New York.
It's further north.
I'm further north. In your mind, if you locate New York City, go straight north. Don't go west.
Past Kingston, past Albany.
Albany's the capital, and you go 150 miles further north from that.
Oh, wow.
You've heard of Lake Placid, New York?
I have.
The Olympics were held there twice.
1980, right?
1932 and 1980. And my hometown is 10 miles from Lake Placid. It's called Saranac Lake. It's a town, city, I guess, by her standards. No, we had about 5,000 to 6,000 people in that town. That's where I was born and brought up. And I went from there to Philadelphia. There I started with TWA. And from Philadelphia, I went to Albany, New York, then to Hartford, Connecticut. Then I went to Tampa, Florida. Then I went back, I got a promotion, went to staff in New York City. And from there, I had a massive stroke, and that's why I'm the way I am today.
So, Mr. Trito, after your stroke, was it before or after your stroke that you came to Kansas City, Missouri? When did you come to the Kansas City?
I was rehab here in Kansas City. They sent me back here after sending me to Mayo Clinic to make sure I was capable of doing my job, which apparently I was.
Let's go back to Fernshire, and then we'll come back to you, Mr. Trito. Mm-hmm. We're trying to build the arc, the narrative arc that brought you two together into holy matrimony. Fern, you've been married twice, correct?
Yes.
And this is your third marriage to Mr. Trito.
Yes.
Your third time around, what were you looking for in a man at your rather mature and handsome age?
Well, in a man in I really wasn't looking for a man for me. I was quite busy. I was working with seniors and took them on trips and spent a lot of time in my church. I took people to and from the hospitals and just so many things were needing to be done. So that's how I spent my time. And I didn't ask for pay for anything. I was able to help support myself, but many people were good to us and just did things for us as I worked with children. I would open the church door and have it there for the children after school, and if they wanted to come, their parents wanted them to come to me, I would let them play a little outside and then bring them in, and they would talk about what happened that day at school. And whenever they had problems, I would let one tell another about how to handle maybe how they had that problem and were able to handle it nicely and came out with good relationships. So those were the kinds of things that I allowed the children to do. They stood on sat on the carpet and talked to each other. They listened to songs and music that I played, lovely songs such as Heaven is a wonderful place filled with glory and grace, and I'm going to hope to see my Savior face to face, and that kind of thing. And it developed into many wonderful outcomes. One little boy told me when he was 9 years old later, Mrs. Scher, I want to go to heaven, and I'd like to know, make sure I get to go. And I told him to check with his mother. I'd already had a session with his mother, and she had accepted Jesus. And this is the kind of thing I work toward, the accepting of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And he's the only way for freedom to be handed to us. He handed us freedom at the cross, and I know he died for me there. And so I've had this love for Jesus and the fun of teaching others and helping the children to grow up in a fashion like this. So,
and that's where you were when you found Mr. Trito. Love cannot hide from you. Those are the words of Fern Scher, who recently married Paul Trito at 83. Paul is into older women. Fern is a spry 96 years young. The newlyweds are our guests today on Central Standard. You're listening to KCUR FM and live stream on KCUR.org. I'm Jabalani LaFall. Kansas City, did you or someone in your family find love later in life? Call in and join the conversation at 816-235-2888. That's 816-235-2888, or write in via Facebook, or write in at centralstandard@kcur.org. I'm going to go over to Mr. Trito now. Mr. Trito, you were married once, 56 years, correct?
Right.
What were you looking for? Were you looking for anything? She was ensconced in her faith, in her teaching, in her service in life, and you had health problems, and you rehabbed here in Kansas City. You were married 56 years. And what were you then looking for before you met Miss Fern Scher?
I don't think I knew what I was looking for. It just suddenly happened that we ate meals together at the same table in the Garden Village where we both live. But no, I don't think I was looking for anything.
You spent a lot of...
Maybe companionship.
Certainly, certainly. You spent a lot of time eating together, as you just mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us about some of those conversations, and then we'll get to how you met.
Well, I would say that in the tables where we eat, many of the older people gossip, and I'm not a gossip fan. So we started asking trivia questions, and that just became a way of sitting at our table. Everybody at the table asked and answered trivia questions.
What were some of the trivia questions that you asked?
Just anything you can think of, like who is the mayor of Kansas City now? Who was the mayor before? Who's the police chief? Real trivia questions.
Those are questions a lot of people
observant
can't answer right now. So
that's true.
That's a very sharp thing to do. So how did you meet Fern Scher? You're at the same living community. How did you meet? What were your thoughts?
That's for her.
That's for her.
Oh,
Fern Scher.
Oh,
yeah.
I was hoping you'd ask me that. I was a already involved with a gentleman who loved the Lord, and he loved to talk, to read the scriptures, and always in church. And he had quite a bit of a load more to do at the village. And you know, where we live, it's a real exciting place. And much goes on there if you can just open your eyes and see it and understand that it's out there for you to do. And it's good, clean work. Well, he was reading the Bible to me, and then he would pray. Both of us would pray, take our turns, and our prayers were always for those around us in Garden Village, that they would come to their senses, forget about themselves, and start thinking about others and things that they could do for others, and then they could be happy. There's no happiness unless you get your mind off yourself, because you can't make yourself happy. And you know, there's a lot to do to be happy. So anyway, he had to go into another piece of work, and right behind him, when Paul was back there, and I didn't know it, but he heard Billy Parker say, "I'm going to need to let someone else read to you, Fern." And Paul said, "Well, I want to read to Fern." He was wanting to read to just anybody because he was lonely too, and so anyway, he started reading to me every day. There was always some wonderful thought that was written by a wonderful Christian person, and that was put into our ears, so we heard it, and we wanted to be like those kind of people.
So you wanted to read, Paul?
Yes.
And when you read...
Well, I could read, and she has a little problem with her eyes.
Do you remember the particular scripture you read? Was it a scripture? Was it a story? Do you remember what you read?
We read the book that's called Our Daily Bread.
Right, the little pamphlet.
Yes.
With the witticisms and scriptural references.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And that's how it started.
That's how it started.
Was there a spark there? Not at first.
No, it took a while before I opened my eyes.
So it was sort of a gradual kinship that evolved into something else.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'd like to say something about that.
Please do.
When we were talking, there would be a question that Paul might ask. Okay, so I never realized I was doing this. But I'd always ask him a question right back to kind of get a little lead on what he was talking about. But he thought that I was finagling, I think.
Finagling, huh? Was she finagling, Paul?
I thought so.
I'm not trying to get you in trouble. I'm just asking, was she finagling?
You got me in trouble already.
He would always look at me and say, "Well, Fern, I just ask you the question. I ask you a question." That was the only thing that I can think of that might have been a little trouble, because he's a very serious minded man. Quite a gentleman.
It seems that way. You said on the KMBC broadcast story that he was a gentleman.
Yes.
Why?
Well, it was just the way he conducted himself, and that he cared about people around him. He cared enough to read to me, even. So, you know, that was something that God teaches us to do. God taught him that. And so he was just doing what a gentleman would do.
It was actually KCTV5 that you said that on, but we get the reference. Do you feel like a gentleman, Paul?
That puts me on the spot, you know.
It usually puts a humble gentleman on the spot to do. Let's talk about the age difference. You're an 83-year-old boy toy, as you were described by some of the online blogs.
Yes,
there.
She's the cradle robber.
Right. Does it feel like a big difference? Do you feel like you're part of the same generation? Fern was born in 1925. Right before the outset of the Depression, you're born in 38, sort of as the Depression is almost winding down. Do you feel like you're part of the same generation?
Not really. Not really.
Not really.
I think she has a lot more information that I don't have.
Expound on that, if you will.
Well, I think she was born in a different generation.
May I say 1915?
1915. Born in 1915. Excuse me. The math is off. And you lived in the Depression. You weren't born during the Depression. You lived in it. 1915.
Yes.
At 96. It's 2011. It would be.
Yeah.
1915.
I was
so born. That's different.
Yes.
I was born in 28. So 28. That would be during the Depression or the early part of the Depression. It's almost over then. By then.
30s.
Right. So we
and
have.
I'm too young.
We have 19. So you were actually born before the stock market crash. You were actually born before that, and you were born way before that.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you reconcile that age difference, and how do you bring similar experiences together?
I don't have an answer.
You don't have an answer. How do you look at the age difference, or do you look at the age difference?
I really haven't been questioned about that, as to speak it out. But one of the things, it was a lovely life I lived from 1915 on until he was born. There was a lot that went on. Could I tell you about when I graduated? Maybe I told you that on the other story about when I was ready to graduate. I graduated from high school in 1920. No. Oh, fiddle. Now I can't. High school, and then yes, high school. I asked my father if I could have some money so I could get some material to get my graduation dress done. And I had worn my sister's dress on Sunday for the Sunday service. But everybody thought it'd be nice if I had my own for graduation. And my father said, "Well, Fern, I don't have any money. We never had a paycheck every month that or every week or anything like that. Dad had to take pigs to town, and he gave us the runt pigs to fatten so that we could have pigs to go with his, same time his went. So, but those were other times too. But the one thing I wanted to tell you about the soybeans was my father said, "You go down to the tin granary, and there are all these dried up branches that we pulled out of the ground full of soybeans, and that's what we're going to use for planting next year. But you go and get whatever you need, and maybe you can get some money to go to town and get what you want for your graduation." So I beat out those beans, and I got 3 bushel. And then I had them all in sacks and was ready to sell them. I thought, "Oh, boy, now I have it all made. See, there they are." Well, no one wanted my soybeans. They didn't buy them. So I went out behind the chicken house and into the peach yard, and I sat down there, and I started to remember that God wanted to help me with anything I needed, and if I'd just tell him. So I told him I was really wanting to sell my soybeans. And pretty soon, very soon, here came this chuckling old Ford little old pickup, you know, that they used to have in those years. And lo and behold, it drove in our driveway, our gate, entered our gate, and came in up to the porch near where Mom came out of the house and said, "Yes, hello there. What can I do for you today?" And he said, "Do you folks happen to have any soybeans that you'd like to sell?" Well, she said yes, of course, because she knew that I was desperately in need of someone buying them. The man bought them, and I got over $10 for the whole thing. And my sister was a good seamstress, and she put me in the car. We had an old Ford car and could drive to Cameron 10 miles away on Saturday. And I came home with the prettiest material. It was dotted Swiss. It was real tiny green on white, little dots on white. Okay, there was enough of that to make a dress full length. We didn't know that. We got a pattern and made it from that. And we decided that we were going to leave it full length. And then I had money enough left over to buy some canvas slippers and to go with my dress. And then the neighbor took me over to their house and fixed my hair real pretty and clean. And so I I looked nice. Well, I went back to school the day that we were going to graduate, get our diplomas and all that. And I had my classmates all gathered around me in a circle because they just were looking at me. And I just let them look because I didn't know what they were seeing anyway. And they liked my dress and liked the way I look. And so I graduated that way with my new dress and shoes.
And you've lived a life of faith and a very interesting life with lots of very, very interesting stories. And you're still going.
Yes.
I can't remember what I had for breakfast, and she can remember the details, all those details.
Kansas City, can you start a new life in your twilight years? Do you know someone who has? Call in and join the conversation at 816-235-2888. That's 816-235-2888, or write in at centralstandard@kcur.org. We have about 179 years of experience in life and love here. You probably want to call in and get some of that sage wisdom. We're going to take a quick break. When we return, romance in the golden years, we'll ask Paul Trito and Fern Shure, is it simpler than us young whippersnappers make it out to be? Love, that is. We'll be right back. And welcome back to Central Standard. He was nervous on their wedding day. She loves him because he's a gentleman. We're talking about the joys of being newlyweds. But here's what's unique about these newlyweds, Paul and Fern. He's 83, she's 96, and they're starting over a new life together. I'm Jabalani LaFall. Newlyweds Fern Shure and Paul Trito are here in the house on Central Standard to give us advice on tying the knot, to give us advice on just getting up in the morning and living our lives and navigating the stormy waters of romance and sharing your life with someone. Kansas City, can you really start a new life in your twilight years? Do you know someone who has, or would you like some advice from a couple with a combined 179 years of experience from Lake Placid, New York, to rural Missouri, all the way converging in Kansas City? Call us up at 816-235-2888. That's 816-235-2888, or write in at centralstandard@kcur.org. So, Fern, what do your families think of the new nuptials?
Well, my niece, who came to California and brought me back here to live in our village place where I am, and this is a wonderful place that she knew about and was telling everybody that it would be a good place to come. And so she told me and brought me here. I left everything behind in California. And I turned my back on it, and I didn't cry too much. I just came back here. And I knew that there wasn't anything for me to choose other than live my life, just get busy and live it. And so I did. I kept myself really busy, and I tried to tell my friend there that works there. That's my Mary Jane Branch is a wonderful person to bring something good out of you. She dug on me quite a while trying to get me to tell things about my life. But you know, I wasn't a great talker.
You're not a great talker? But let's let your husband get some words in edgewise, Mrs. Sure. Paul Trito, you were married 56 years. How do you now deal with friends and family with your new bride?
Well, I did call my only living sister, and she gave us her blessings.
Yes.
And she said that was normal for us. Normal? When I was maybe 20 years younger, I didn't think it was normal, but here I am. And I don't feel that you're never... what I say in the editorial you've got there, I don't think you're ever too old. It's never too late.
It's never too late.
It's never too late, because it came on me suddenly. I realized I'd like to live my life with her.
And I think that's what we're learning here today. We do have a caller, Shadow from Edgerton.
Oh, Shadow.
Oh, your faces are lighting up. Let's get Shadow on the line to see what he's talking about. Welcome to Central Standard, Shadow.
Yes, good morning. Good morning, Paul. Good morning, Fern.
Good morning, Shadow.
Good morning, Shadow.
I leave you guys alone for 5 minutes and you become rock stars.
So, Shadow, give us a little bit of the lowdown, if you will, on this lovely couple.
Absolutely. I met Paul a few weeks back. I was his guardian on an honor flight to Washington, D.C. to go see the World War II memorials. And I was quite honored to be his guardian as we traveled through Washington and saw all the sites and memorials and everything. And I have to tell you, this man is quite an inspiration. To sit down and talk with him and listen to his story, I was truly inspired. And then, of course, after all this, I hear that they're getting married. And, you know, it really, what they said is exactly right. You're never too old. And to see those two together is simply a sight everyone should see.
Shadow, Paul seems to have a humble spirit, that quiet dignity that you just can't fake. Would you agree?
I would wholeheartedly agree on that. He is a very smart man, a very kind man, and a very humble man. And you don't really run into people like that all the time. And after spending many hours with him in Washington, I also got to spend some time with him on Veterans Day, where he and Fern were guests of honor at the Johnson County Veterans Day celebration. And we also went out, and my wife and I went out and celebrated their wedding with them. These two people are just inspiring is an understatement.
Shadow, did they give you any advice as they went to tie the knot? Did they give you any advice as a younger person on how to carry yourself, how to handle yourself?
Well, I think you know, Fern said it very well. Stop thinking about yourself and start thinking about other people. And I think if every newlywed couple would remember that and know that, you know, when you listen, anything is possible.
When you listen, anything is possible. And her direct quotes, Fern Shore's direct quote from the earlier part of the hour is, there's no happiness unless you get your mind off of yourself. Sage wisdom for us here on Central Standard. Shadow, thank you so much for calling in. We'd like other people to call in and get some of this sage advice and ask questions of this greatest generation, really before the greatest generation of Americans. Call in 816-235-2888. That's 816-235-2888. Or you can write in at centralstandard@kcur.org. Mr. Trito, you're a veteran. You're a former airline employee. Both of you are now retired. She's a school teacher. Two very vital professions, two obviously admired people here in your community. What do you do, besides the trivia, Mr. Trito, what do you guys do in your spare time to stay active?
Well, I think I mentioned it before that I love to play chess and I love to play bridge. These are mind-expanding occupations, should I say.
Right. Do you give him room, Fern, for his chess and bridge, or are you involved in that as well?
certainly, I give him room for these kinds of things to enrich his life and help him to keep above the problems of the world and not have to just carry them on his shoulders. Let God take care of it, and he's also mending the cells in his thinking power. There's a mending session going on there that heals and causes him then to keep a healthy attitude about life and toward other people. And that's what makes him kind and good and very careful about taking care of me. Because this morning, he knew I had a cold and wasn't sure about how it was going to develop. Maybe I couldn't even talk today. But anyway, he gave me some salt water to gargle my throat and a tablet that helped me keep the hurting down and a cough drop. And pretty soon I was ready to go and come here.
If you're listening, folks, this is the gargling salt water, the nudges, the daily bread. That is what keeps relationships together. Flowers get it though, right? Paul, did you get her some flowers?
No.
No. Fern, are you gonna take Mr. Trito's name?
Yes.
You are?
I'd like to.
When are you gonna make that official? Are you gonna go down to the Hall of Records here, to the registrar here, and change that?
Wherever I have to go. Yes, because I'm proud to have his name, because I was able to visit with his sister on the telephone, and she was so sweet and kind, and it gave me a good feeling of getting into the door with the family.
Getting into the door with the family at 96 and 83, respectively. We have Teresa on the line from KC. You guys are getting quite popular, soon-to-be Mrs. Trito and Mr. Trito. Teresa, you're on the line from Central Standard.
Hi, good morning. Thank you for taking my call. I just wanted to share, as an adult child, my mother just recently married, and she and the groom had both had previous marriages of quite lengthy times, and just that what a wonderful experience it was for all of their adult children, adult grandchildren, and great-grandchildren that we all met, actually, the day they got married, and just that families need to keep their heart and their mind open to these marriages at this point in life and just welcome it with open arms. And it's been a wonderful experience for all of us.
Teresa, did you learn anything from your mother getting remarried about yourself or about your life?
Well, I think it kind of has you take pause and reflect on some of the values that you have and the way you were raised and growing up. And also, I think I had always thought for myself that if my marriage ended, which has been quite a long time as well, that I would not want to be remarried. But now I think I would. I think I would welcome that.
Well, thank you very much, Teresa, for your thoughts. Mr. Trito, what about your marriage to your new blushing bride, Fern Shore, is traditional, and what about it is non-traditional? Let's tackle the traditional first. What's traditional about it?
I think that Fern and I did something I would like to do before marriage, and that is we sat and talked about our likes, dislikes, what we could or could not tolerate. Can we absorb these things and live with them? Or is it going to mean we're going to go, going to be divorced in a month or so? No, we're not going to be. This is the rest of our lives.
Absorb. I like that word a lot, absorb. What have you absorbed, Fern? What have you absorbed from Mr. Trito?
Well, I have found out that he's very easy to understand. He talks to me in plain language, and we've been able to share different ways of feeling about one another and understanding better in those cases. One thing, he like this morning, he took good care of me so I could come here. And that was, he didn't have to talk about that. All he did was just help me to feel better because he had that knowledge. And he's very careful with knowledge, too. it's simple things that he's able to take care of and didn't have to go to school for it.
You can't pick up some of these simple things at school, can you, Mr. Trito?
School is another subject with me.
You're listening to Central Standard on KCUR FM, streaming live on KCUR.org. I'm your host, Jabalani LaFall. Our guest today is Paul Trito. At 83 years young, he's a gentleman, and it's been confirmed, sorry, you are indeed a scholar and a veteran of these United States Armed Forces. We're joined by his lovely new bride, Fern Schur, who at 96 says she found a man with a sincere heart who takes care of her, and she will indeed take his name. Kansas City, do you think there comes a time when it's too late to get married? Can you start a new life at any point in your life? Do you know someone who has? Call in and join the conversation at 816-235-2888. That's 816-235-2888. Or write in to us at centralstandard@kcur.org. We're going to go to Adrian in Overland Park. Adrian, welcome to Central Standard.
Thank you. Hi, Fern. Hi, Paul. Congratulations.
Hello, Adrian.
Go ahead.
Is this the Adrian we know?
No. You don't know me yet, but I was listening to your story, and I wanted to share a sweet story from my husband's family.
Please do.
My husband's grandfather was actually remarried in 2006 to his high school sweetheart. They were actually high school sweethearts and were separated when he went off to war. Mm-hmm. They both married, had families of their own, were happily married for many, many years. And Grandpa Jack actually lost his wife of Alzheimer's about 15 years ago. And, you know, never thought he would remarry, but got kind of curious one day and started looking up old classmates and found his high school sweetheart. Found out that her husband had recently passed away of the same disease, and started taking trips down to visit her, unbeknownst to the family. They ended up getting married in a small ceremony in 2006. The family actually found out because they ran into him at the airport one day, and he said he was going off to play golf, but he didn't have his golf clubs with him. And they kind of figured out that he had a lady friend, and turns out that he had found his high school sweetheart, and after all these years, they reconnected and were remarried and were happily married for several years.
Adrian, did that teach you anything?
You know, it taught me that, you know, love can be found at any time. I thought it was wonderful that they had reconnected and found each other, and, you know, they could also share in this common bond that they had lost their spouses from the same, you know, horrible disease. Unfortunately, she passed away last year. But, you know, it was nice to kind of see a skip and a step again, you know, once he met her. And, you know, it was really kind of cute. It made them both young again, I felt.
Thank you for sharing your thoughts with us, Adrian. Paul and Fern, you folks are making the case here that, a compelling case, that you're never too old to get married. But tell us, impart some wisdom on us, Mr. Trito. Is it possible to be too young to get married? Too young to get married?
That's a possibility. I have never thought about it, but I think that's a possibility.
What do you need to know? You mentioned talking about differences and quirks and absorbing those before you take the plunge, so to speak. What would you tell a young person who you might think isn't ready to jump that broom, jump that plank, make that, all, you know, all of the cliches there?
Probably what their parents would have told them. Wait a minute.
Did anybody tell you guys, wait a minute? Was there anyone who stood up or, you know that moment in the wedding, if anyone can show cause, was there anyone that objected to this union?
I don't think I have any fear of that ever happening at our ceremony. And I did want to say something about our ceremony.
Please do. Please do. Cupcakes and pianos and all of that is what you had?
The whole thing. In singing, yes. by the piano player.
Oh, yeah.
And this was all handled by Garden Village. Believe it or not.
Now, Fern, you said the whole ceremony was kind of commandeered, kind of taken away from you guys. How did you feel about that?
Oh, I didn't feel that they were taking away from me at all.
They took it over.
They took it over and said, well, that's all being taken care of, Fern. And I couldn't believe that, but and I'd keep asking, well, what do I do now? But it just came out that way, and so I'm happy and I appreciate. It just goes to show that love just never ends in your life if you work on it just right.
We have Ann in Overland Park. I'll get to you in just a minute, Mr. Trudeau. Ann in Overland Park, welcome to Central Standard.
Hi, and congratulations to both of you. Just wanted to share a family story. My grandmother was 92 and met this wonderful man who was 86. And they got married, and they were married for 4 years. She passed away last year. But the night before her wedding day, she said something to me that I'll never forget. She was married to her previous husband for over 50 years. And she said, Pam, I feel so in love. And he was a great husband, too. And it was just wonderful to see them in love.
Thank you for sharing your story with us, Ann. How are you guys divvying up your financial pie? Are you sharing a retirement account, or you've kind of left that aspect of the union alone?
What we did was agree that we will share the rental expenses, but anything else we've had in place beforehand, such as wills or trusts, they will remain the same.
And that's a good policy to have.
Well, we hope so.
You hope so.
Only time will tell, and that's after I'm gone will I know if it's right or not.
After you're gone, you'll know if it's right.
Yeah.
Have you guys shared any of your older experiences in previous marriages, and are there any sort of commonalities in that, Mr. Trudeau or Fern?
Oh, I was wanting to speak about that. The wife of the gentleman who spoke of taking Paul through Washington, D.C., his wife and I had a little visit after the wedding, and she told me that it made such a wonderful, beautiful thing to come back into her memories, and it kindled a love that had maybe not been so prominent lately. And I thought that was exciting to hear her say that, because now she has a greater love for her husband. And I'd like for, okay, I forgot what we call him. We nicknamed him.
Shadow.
He's a wonderful gentleman, and I see in him the traits that I see in Paul. And I think that's the reason they came together as such buddies, friends.
Mr. Trudeau, what are your tips? You wanted to say something right before we got on the phone with Ann from Overland Park.
Well, it was just an observation. When I asked Fern to marry me, I expected maybe we'd have 25, 30, 40 people maybe at our wedding. And when I stood up at the altar and looked at the sea of faces out there and found out, in my estimation, there were probably close to 200 people there. I was amazed at that.
Yes.
You were touched by that?
Mm-hmm. Well, yes. Yes, I was.
What are your tips, Mr. Trudeau, as a war vet, as a veteran of a now defunct or merged airline, as a veteran of life, marriage, love, what are your tips on longevity?
You got to be lucky like I was.
That's pretty poignant. How about you, Fern? 96 years young, what are your tips on longevity? You're obviously a woman of faith and courage.
I think that there's just one answer to that, and it's real easy to have the answer come into your heart and know that it's there and that you're going to be okay. You know, we just have to turn to the Lord and let him guide us and help us to know that when we pray, we want him to hear our prayers and answer them according to his will, though, not ours. So that's important. Oh, there's so much to say about that.
Do you share your new wife's faith, Mr. Trudeau?
Yes.
Tell us a little bit about that as we get ready to park here.
Well, I guess I could go back to I was born Catholic and brought up Catholic. And I've changed religion several times. I'm Baptist now, and that's where I will be. I can't say more than that about it. That's just what I believe.
Fern, really quickly, what are your plans now that you guys are newlyweds? 14 days in. What's your next plan?
Well, my next plan is to work with Paul and learn more about his life and through the things that we're going to find in this house that we've put together, two houses we put together. And it's going to take a little bit of doing and time and understanding from both of us, but we each have treasures there that we can share, and we'll put them together and make them one in our lives.
Well, parting is such sweet sorrow, rather. Our guests today remind us it's never too late to answer age-old questions about love and life. We were joined by newlyweds Fern Schurer, who is 96, and Paul Trudeau, who is 83. Fern Schurer will soon take his name and be Fern Trudeau. Congratulations, sir and ma'am, and thank you so much for joining us. It's an honor that you came on Central Standard with us. Tune in tomorrow as we remember KC poet Phil Miller, the founder of the Riverfront Writers Series, plus a look at a documentary about a black punk funk band called Fishbone. We have help today from Tamika Weatherspoon. Our show is produced by Andrea Salenzi. Up to Date is next with the Washington editor of the Wall Street Journal. I'm Jabalani LaFall. This is Central Standard. Enjoy your day.